نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الذي بعث في الاميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم اياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمه وان كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Respected elders, friends, all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I've recited before you a verse of the Quran Kareem in which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about the three missions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first is to recite the Quran Kareem to the Ummah. The second, to purify, to cleanse the Ummah from kufr, from shirk, and from all evil qualities. And the third, to teach and educate the Ummah. Each one of these three qualities are important. And each one of these responsibilities, they complement each other. If a person is involved in education, but he supports tabligh, he also supports making tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem and conveying the message of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to others, it'll support his work. And the same goes with the others as well. Each one complements the other and each one strengthens and consolidates each other. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, Al-ulama warathatul anbiya. وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِثُوا دِينَارُ وَلَا دِرْهَمَا إِنَّمَا وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمِ فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَذٍ وَافِرٍ The ulama, the learned people, they are the heirs of the anbiya. When the anbiya pass away, the prophets pass away, they do not leave any material things as inheritance. They leave knowledge. Knowledge, that is the inheritance of the prophets. And whosoever has taken the greatest portion of this knowledge, he's got the greatest portion of the inheritance of the prophets. Respected elders and friends, among the Sahaba, the person that took the greatest inheritance of knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a great illustrious Sahabi of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the son of Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a very close bond and relationship between Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Abbas minni wa ana min al Abbas. Abbas is from me and I'm from Abbas. Both of us are one. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it was a Monday, come with your son tomorrow, I would want to make such dua for you that will be beneficial for you. The following day, Abbas radiallahu ta'ala went with Abdullah ibn Abbas Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took out his shawl, covered both of them, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua. Allahumma ghfir lil Abbas wa waladihi maghfiratan zahiratan wa batinatan la tughadiru dhanba. Oh Allah, you forgive Abbas and you forgive the son of Abbas. Forgive them in every possible way. Do not leave any sin for them. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Allahumma ihfazhu fi waladi. Oh Allah, you protect Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu in his child, that is Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was born 3 years before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could migrate and hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara. And this was during that time when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba and the families of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were ostracized, they were in a siege in the valley. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was born. His mother, Umme Fazl, she sent Abdullah ibn Abbas directly to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make tahneek. Tahneek is when the child is born, you take the child, you take a khajur and have it but chewed by a pious person so that the child will benefit from the barakat and blessing of that pious person. So she sent Abdullah ibn Abbas to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make tahneek. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made tahneek for Abdullah ibn Abbas. And therefore it is stated that أَوَّلُ شَيْءٍ دَخَلَ فِي جَوْفِ إِبْنِ عَبَّاسِ رِيقُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ الْحِكْمَةُ وَالتَّقْوَى. The first thing that went inside the stomach, the system, the body of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was the Mubarak spit of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama mentioned, would that spit in the body of Abdullah ibn Abbas, taqwa and wisdom also entered. On one occasion, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he told to his son Abdullah ibn Abbas, go to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was some work, go to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, Abdullah ibn Abbas went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came back and he told his father there was somebody with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shortly thereafter, Hazrat Abbas went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was there anyone with you? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned why. Say, but my son Abdullah said that there was somebody with you. Said that there was no human being with me. There was Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam came to me. And in the hadith he did mention, one of the outstanding qualities, a speciality of Abdullah ibn Abbas, as young as he was, no sahabi has seen Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, but Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. On two occasions, he seen Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And on those specific occasions, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam made special dua for Abdullah ibn Abbas. When Abdullah ibn Abbas reached an age of realization, he attached himself with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Every possible opportunity he would get, he would be with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Just as one eye is attached to the other eye, they pay with the other eye. Abdullah ibn Abbas was with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as possible. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to make wudu, he would prepare the wudu water for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform nafil salah, he would stand behind Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would travel somewhere, he would sit behind the conveyance of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Abbas mentioned his personal incident. He said, one day, I prepared the wudu water for Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was probably in the house of Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, because Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha was the maternal auntie of Abdullah ibn Abbas, the khala of Abdullah ibn Abbas. So he seized the opportunity that his Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to go to Hazrat Maymuna. That's my auntie, let me go spend time by my auntie. I would observe Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very closely at night what he does. He says, I prepared the wuzu water for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the wuzu water, somebody prepared the wuzu water, he got very happy. He noticed it was Abdullah ibn Abbas. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him at that stage. Allahumma allimhu al-hikmah wa ta'wil. Oh Allah, grant hikmat, wisdom to Abdullah ibn Abbas and teach him the interpretation of the Quran Kareem. The effect of this dua was Abdullah ibn Abbas became the greatest commentator, the most learned person of the Quran Kareem. And as we go on further, I'll present certain examples of that. What comprehensive knowledge he had in the Quran, no other sahabi had that amount of knowledge like Abdullah ibn Abbas. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he passed away, Abdullah ibn Abbas was a very young boy. He was only 13 years old. One can imagine, we see quite a few young boys, children here, 12 years, 13 years. Abdullah ibn Abbas was 13 years old when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. By that time, he had already benefited from the company of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he understood the importance of seeking knowledge. He told one of his Ansari brothers, Now that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had passed away, there are other senior Sahaba here. Let us go to them and let us benefit from their knowledge. So the Ansari brother told to Abdullah ibn Abbas that you think that in the presence of these senior people, somebody is going to come and ask you a question? So the Ansari brother ignored that request of Abdullah ibn Abbas, but Abdullah ibn Abbas was determined to seek knowledge. He used to go to any possible sahabi who had knowledge and go and ask them questions. To the extent, in the Arab land, midday, it is extremely hot. At that time, people are normally resting. Abdullah ibn Abbas, in his quest for knowledge, he would then go, he would hear that of a particular sahabi, he's got knowledge and understanding of a particular ayat of the Quran, or of a particular hadith. He would go to the house. He wouldn't tap at the door, he would sit outside by the door, bearing the heat of the Arab land. In those days, they weren't tar or anything, but the dust would fly, he would bear everything, until that sahabi would come out from the house. They would see, the cousin of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting by the door. They would tell to him, that, Yabna Ummi Rasulullah, O cousin of Rasulullah, why didn't you tap the door and call us out? Abdullah ibn Abbas gave an amazing answer. Al-ilmu yu'ta wa la ya'ti. We should go to knowledge. We should go to knowledge. Knowledge should not come to us. We must show the respect for the knowledge. So, I waited for you to come out in respect of the knowledge. Hazrat Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a very great illustrious sahabi. He was a scribe of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he had great knowledge of the Quran Kareem. So Abdullah ibn Abbas used to go and derive knowledge from him. On one occasion, Zayd ibn Thabit was riding the animal. Abdullah ibn Abbas came and held the reins of the animal and started asking with humbleness, humility, asking Zayd ibn Thabit certain questions. So Zayd ibn Thabit felt ashamed, cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's showing so much of respect to me. So he urged Abdullah ibn Abbas, that why don't you just leave that animal and go away? I would rather come to you, but he felt ashamed that Abdullah ibn Abbas is showing so much of respect to him. So on that, Abdullah ibn Abbas mentioned, هَكَذَا عُمِرَ أَن نَفْعَلْ بِعُلَمَائِنَا. This is how we have been ordered to show respect to our ulama. Show respect to knowledge, you will then get knowledge. But Zayd ibn Thabit then told to Abdullah ibn Abbas, show me your hands. Abdullah ibn Abbas showed the hand to Zayd ibn Thabit. He took the hand of Abdullah ibn Abbas and kissed it. And he said, هَكَذَا أُمِرْنَا أَن نَفْعَلْ بِبَيْتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This is how we've been ordered to show respect to the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Abbas had amazing knowledge, great amount of knowledge. It is stated, one great tabi'i, Ta'us rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, I saw Abdullah ibn Abbas. There were sometime 20, 30, 40, 50 sahaba, senior sahaba, when they needed to know something, they would go to Abdullah ibn Abbas, discuss the issue with Abdullah ibn Abbas, and then they would end up having the same view of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Young person, but very learned, and he was able to convince senior sahaba on what's the correct view of the Shariat. It also mentioned about Masruq rahmatullah alayh, also a great tabi'i, student of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. These are his words. He says, whenever I used to see Abdullah ibn Abbas, إِذَا رَأَيْتُ ibn Abbas, قُلْتُ أَجْمَلُ النَّاسِ وَإِذَا نَتَقَ قُلْتُ أَفْصَحُ النَّاسِ وَإِذَا تَحَدَّثَ قُلْتُ أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ. When I used to see Abdullah ibn Abbas, then he was very good looking. I used to say he is أَجْمَلُ النَّاسِ, most handsome person. In fact, Ibn Manda rahmatullah alayh, he describes Abdullah ibn Abbas with these words, and he says that Abdullah ibn Abbas kana abyas tawilan mushriban sufra jaseeman sabihul wajh lahu wafra yakhzab bil hina Which means he was very fair in complexion, tall, and his whiteness was little tainted with little yellow. He was healthy, very bright faced, and he would have long hair. And he would also dye his hair with henna, with mehndi as we would call it. Then Masrook would say, when Abdullah ibn Abbas would talk, I would say that he is the most eloquent person. And whenever he would discuss anything academic, I would say that he is the most learned person. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, whose attitude, he had a very positive attitude. He always wanted things to be right. Anything positive, he used to support it. And he used to say that if I come across the ayat of the Quran Al-Kareem that I felt it beneficial for the people, I would just love to pass it over to everyone. He would then say, if there's a dispute and the matter goes to a judge, and the judge issues a decree, a correct decree, fair decree, I would get happy. Anything that was right would make Abdullah ibn Abbas happy. And then he would say, at a time of drought, famine, poverty, when rain used to come, he used to also express happiness upon that. His attitude was such that he always wanted to help people out. Once he was in i'tikaf, Abdullah ibn Abbas. One person came to him and explained some difficulty to him. So Abdullah ibn Abbas told that person, if you want, I could use my influence on that person and try to sort your problem out. No sooner he mentioned this, Abdullah ibn Abbas was in i'tikaf. He goes out of the masjid, he holds his shoes. So a person told to Abdullah ibn Abbas, but you are in i'tikaf. You're not supposed to come out of the masjid. Abdullah ibn Abbas was in Masjid an-Nabawi making i'tikaf. Not far from the Rose Mubarak, he tells to this person, I'm fully aware of my condition. But qala sahibu hadha al-qabr, referring to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when a person is in a state of i'tikaf and he comes out to help and assist someone, there's nobody else to help and assist that person, then he will get the reward of 10 i'tikafs. Helping and assisting that person. And then he further mentions that if a person, in the same hadith, when a person makes only one day i'tikaf, then the reward of that is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will distance him 3 trenches away from the fire of Jahannam. One is to make sunnat i'tikaf. Alhamdulillah, many brothers are making sunnat i'tikaf. And one is to make nafil i'tikaf. On these kind of nights, odd nights, let us spend our time in a masjid. Inshallah, it will become a means of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala saving us from the fire of Jahannam. Just before finishing off, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is to always caution the people from committing guna and sins. And then the 7 advisors that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala mentioned about sins, I want to share that with you. The Arabic is very profound, and I would want to share the Arabic and translate it. Abdullah ibn Abbas says, Ya sahib al-dhamb, la ta'amman aqibata dhambik, i'lam, innama tadba'u dhamb a'zam min al-dhambi binafsi. Abdullah ibn Abbas says, what beautiful advice and what deep thinking. He says, oh person that is committing the sin, don't be unmindful of the consequences of your sin. One is the sin and one is the consequence of your sin. Don't be unmindful of the consequence of your sin. Know well that the consequences of your sin is worse than the sin itself. One is to commit zina. That's a sin. But what comes after that? One is for a person to look at something that is haram, pornographic sites, or popping drugs, or drinking wine or alcohol, and all the other sins you can talk about. At that time you commit the sin, but you enjoyed yourself at that time. What comes after that? What's the consequence of that? You actually planted a seed in yourself to commit the sin in the future. Second advice he gives, فَإِنَّ عَدَمَ إِسْتِحْيَائِكَ عَنَا يَمِينِكَ وَعَنَا شِمَالِكَ أَعْذَبْ مِنَ الزَّنْبِ بِنَفْسِهِ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala kept malaika by us. Angels on the right, on the left. When a person is committing sins, not mindful of the angels. So, Abdullah ibn Abbas mentioned that one is committing the sin and one is not to feel ashamed of the malaika that was by your shoulders. That itself is another sin. Third advice he gives, وَإِنَّ ذِحْكَكَ عِنْدَ الزَّمْبِ وَأَنْتَ لَا تَدْرِي مَ اللَّهُ صَانِعٌ بِكَ أَعْظَمْ مِنَ الزَّمْبِ. He says, when you commit a sin, you're supposed to be remorseful. You're supposed to regret. But on top of that, you're rejoicing of committing the sin. To rejoice over the sin, not knowing what is going to be a consequence, how Allah is going to deal with you, that is even worse than committing the sin. And not that, probably I should caution you. There's two things. One is istihlal, and one is istihza. One is to commit the sin. And then, if a sin is expressly prohibited in the Quran or in the Hadith, through Hadith mutawatir, and if a person has to commit a sin, and on top of that, rejoice on committing that sin, justifying the thing, you risk losing your iman. So at least the least we could do, that if you commit a sin, then don't justify the sin. Say that I've committed a sin, I've done wrong, maybe Allah will give me tawfiq to make tawbah one day, but don't justify the wrong that you do. If you commit a sin and you justify it, you'll never get the tawfiq of making tawbah. The fourth advice he gave him, that إِنَّ فَرْحَكَ مِنَ الزَّمْ إِذَا زَفَرْتَ بِهِ أَعْظَمْ مِنَ الزَّمْ. If you have committed a sin and you rejoice at committing that sin, that is even worse than the sin itself. He goes on further to say that وَإِنْ حَذَنَكَ عَلَى الزَّمْبِ إِذَا فَاتَكَ أَعْظَمْ مِنَ الزَّمْ. Sometime a person wants to commit a sin, but he's unable to do it. And because he's unable to do it, now he regrets that I was unable to fulfill my passion and my desire. For whatever reason, some obstacle came in between. He didn't do the sin, but he's regretting why he could not commit the sin. That is even worse than the sin itself. So that means that enjoyment of the sin is still in you. And you're going to get the next opportunity, you're still going to commit that sin. And then lastly, he says that وَإِنَّ خَوْفَكَ مِنَ الرِّيحِ إِذَا حَرَّكْتَ سِتْرَكَ وَأَنْتَ تَرْكَبُ الذَّنْبِ مَعَ كَوْنِكَ لَا يَسْتَرِبُ هَذَا مِنْ نَزْرِ اللَّهِ أَعْذَمْ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ. Which means that, you know, when the wind blows, there's a possibility that it may just uncover the body and the private parts may get exposed. You're very concerned about that. But you're concerned about the wind blowing and uncovering your body. But you are riding on a sin, and one is the wind blowing, and one is that your heart shaking. Your heart does not even shake that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is seeing you. And lastly, Abdullah ibn Abbas says, he says, Ya sahib al-zam, O person that is committing the sin, atadri ma zamba ayyub. Almighty Allah Tabaraka speaks about Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran Kareem. Allah gave him wealth, Allah gave him children. Allah tested him, his health was taken away, his wealth was taken away. So you know what was the sin all about? What was the reason that Allah Tabaraka ta'ala tested him? Then he says, إِنَّمَا كَانَ زَنْبُهُ إِنَّمَا يَسْتَعِينُ لَهُ مِسْكِينَ لِيَدْفَعْ عَنْهُ الظُّلْمِ. There was a poor person. Poor person once came to Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. And he was an oppressed person. He wanted help and assistance from Ayyub alayhi salam. Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, for some reason, probably it was an incorrect judgment, did not help him and assist him. And because of that, an anbiya, they are tested according to a high spiritual level they enjoy with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Because of that, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala put him into a difficulty and hardship. Respected elders and friends, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he passed away at the age of 71. Till the age of 70, he was in Makkatul Mukarraba or in Madinatul Munawwara. Then after that, at the age of 71, 1 year before he passed away, he went away to Taif. And he passed away in Taif. It is mentioned, And in Taif, where is the resting place of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, I've been there and I saw written on the plague that is there. And it is also recorded by the Muhaddithin in the books of Asma'ul Rijal that when he passed away and when he was shrouded, people were around. People noticed from nowhere a bird came, it flew and went inside the coffin of Abdullah ibn Abbas. That was a mystery. Still up till now, nobody knows what it would be. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows best. After he was buried, from a voice from the unseen came, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna. Irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyya. Fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. O peaceful soul, return to your Allah, peaceful and happy. Join with the pious servants of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This was this great illustrious sahabi, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Most respected elders and friends. Tonight is a very, very Mubarak night. And from the advices that was given to us, Abdullah ibn Abbas make cautioning us on guna, sins. Tonight is a night of tawbah. Allah says in the Quran al-Kareem, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, tubu ilallah, tawbatan nasuha. Allah appeals to us, appeals to our consciousness of iman. Make tawbah to Allah, sincere tawbah. The time has arrived for us to understand our weakness and shortcoming, to change and repair our lives. Sincere tawbah to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Change our lives. How long are we going to carry on our past lives? How long are we going to carry on with guna and sins? Where is that going to take us? Don't we realize that we are going towards our qabr? Don't we realize that we are going towards our akhirat? When is the time going to come for us to change? It's a night of rahmat and mercy. It's a night for us to change. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, when the night of qadr comes, what should I do? What should I say? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on that night, invoke the forgiveness of Allah. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa. Allah, you are most forgiving. You love to forgive. Allah, forgive. Don't just verbalize it, but from our heart make this dua. And if you say it sincerely, Allah will give you a tawfiq to even change your life. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned, At-ta'ibu min az-zam, kamalla zambala. That person who makes tawbah from sins, he gets so pure, so forgiven, so pure, he's like that person who never committed a sin. And not only that, every one of us want to become mahbub, beloved to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, don't underestimate a person that makes tawbah. Don't look at the outward situation of the person. Don't look at the history of the person. Don't look at his background. What we know about him in a community, don't point fingers at people. We will never know which person sincerely made tawbah to Allah. At-ta'ibu habibullah. A person who makes tawbah, he becomes mahbub, beloved to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Sometimes we become judgmental. We forget about ourselves and we look at other people. Don't look at other people. Look at our own self. What is my taluk? What is my relationship with Allah? What's going to happen to me when I die? What's going to happen to me when I stand in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? Allah grant us tawfiq. Allah grant us hidayat. We'll be making that zikr. Zikr also, the intention should be of tawbah. La ilaha illallah. We are removing ghayrullah from our hearts. And all the sins, we know our weakness, we know our shortcoming. What sin we are involved in, we make niyat of tawbah and oh Allah, all that sin there, take it out from my heart. And what is the opposite of that sin? You're putting that inside our heart by saying, illallah, illallah, only Allah. Everything beside Allah, take it out of the heart, negate it. And put Allah, and put the beautiful qualities of Allah in our heart. And lastly, we'll say, Allah, Allah. Brothers, this world has come into existence with the name of Allah. This world is only going to remain existing until the name of Allah is taken. And if we take the name of Allah, then why our hearts won't remain alive? We will also remain alive. Our taluk and relationship with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will also remain alive. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat. We'll be making this zikr. Let us be, our hearts, mind be alert and have, be very positive. Attach our hearts and mind and say to myself, I'm going to make zikr purely for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Inshallah, every one of us will benefit from the rahmat and mercy of Allah.
Be conscious, it's one of the odd nights, and be conscious of this hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, a group of people make the zikr of Allah, then the angels come and surround them. If it is Laylatul Qadr, according to hadith we understand, even Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam comes. Makes musafaha with people. Say ameen to the du'as of the people. We'll be making zikr. We'll be also, Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Chauhan Sahib will be making the du'a. Say ameen. Who knows, we'll be most fortunate that Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam and the malaika will say ameen to our du'as. And that will be our good fortune for our akhirat, inshallah. Recite three times. Qul huwallahu ahad.